Hey, for sure.
Good morning, Jim.
What's up, buddy?
Glad you're here.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. All right, it is good to see all your beautiful faces here today. Yes. Yeah. It's always good to be able to smile and laugh in the Lord's house. Amen? Yes, and it's good to see our band come up today and being their first time doing playing without a piano. And so I know they were a little bit nervous, but y'all did a good job with that. Yep, yep. Yes, so today we're going to be in the book of Philippians as we continue into this mini-series here. We'll be in chapter 2 today, and we're going to continue in this series as we continue to see Paul as he's in prison. He has this imprisonment, and he is being able to, he's just sharing the gospel. But he writes this letter to the people of Philippi, this church here, the Christians there. And just as a big encouragement, it's so different than the writing to like First Corinth, to the Church of Corinth and the Corinthians there, where they were just really, there were good people there in Corinth, in Corinth, but they were just struggling with a lot of things. And here, there's just a lot. In Philippi, we just see a lot of positive things that Paul is in this letter, just lifting up this group of believers. And so last week, it was all about the gospel. And moving in now, he teaches about the gospel and the advancement and the power of that gospel, and telling them that whatever they started, they know, he knows. He says God's going to bring that to completion until the day of the Lord. But here he moves now, he goes a little deeper into his letter now, and it's going to be a little bit more now about the believer and how they start working on themselves, not just so much collectively, but as a part of it, but also individually. And he's speaking to them as a group, but this is stuff that they put in individually. So we're going to begin here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. He says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Father, open our eyes and our ears today that we may take it in what your word would have for us, Lord, that we might grow in it, that we might take this spiritual food, that we may grow in it and mature in your word. We ask it for your presence in these moments. In Christ's name, amen. So we see here a piece here. He says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition, but putting others as important or more important than yourselves." I want to give you a piece here. Jesus is not looking for admirers. He's not looking for people to admire him. He's looking for followers. He's calling us to follow him. And here he is taking a step with these people in this letter. Paul is sharing. He says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit," prideful, being prideful. But it's humility. It's about humbleness. And it's putting others out there more important than yourselves. That is a struggle. We have to admit that is a struggle. To put others out there doesn't mean we not to take care of ourselves, but we are to be humble. And with this humility and humbleness, we are also called to be obedient. Even everyone who should look not only for the interest of our own interests, but also for the interests of others. And all of that would be wrapped up in this bow of being, having humility, humbleness, and just being obedient to the Lord. And here we find a piece here that Paul reminds, he's sharing about Jesus and how Jesus did it. So it's not just an example by words, it's an example of Christ's life on how he humbled himself and became obedient. Let's break into there in verse 5. Now he says, Paul calls it out, "Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus." attitude is everything. If you go into work with a bad attitude, you're probably going to have a bad day. You go to school with a bad attitude, you're probably going to have a bad day. You do anything with a bad attitude, it's usually not going to turn out very good. It's just bad attitude is really what goes in front of you. And you know what? Sometimes you can see people coming into a room and you're like, yep, they got a bad attitude. But here we are called to take the attitude of that of as Jesus Christ. And so that of Jesus Christ, we are to have that same attitude. And then he breaks it down. How was Christ humble with humility and obedient? And it tells us here, Scripture tells us, who existing in the form of God did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. So Jesus didn't use titles in this world to be all that all the world wanted. He didn't use these titles to come down and say, look at me, look who I am, look at all this. In fact, when Jesus was coming and walking on the earth and doing his ministry, many times even the demons would say, the Son of God, and he would tell them to shut up, and he would tell them to be quiet. It wasn't the time when he was doing his teaching and he was doing miracles and all those things. And then he continues, he says in verse 7, instead he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant. And he did it by taking on the likeness of humanity. What does it mean to empty yourself? I think that's a part of Christianity. I think that's us. We're walking. We come to this place where we have Christ in our life. We have that. And we have to push things out. We have to empty ourselves of all the other stuff of the world and allow ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Allow ourselves to be filled with the things of God. And so we have this pull all the time. We're being pulled back and forth. The things we want to do and the things that our flesh is pulling us to. And we have this pull. But when we can empty ourselves. Listen, you that are walking with the Lord, you that are doing what God's called you to do, and you're living that life, and you know what it was like before you came to Christ, and all that stuff that you used to do is not there anymore. You've emptied yourself of all that stuff, and you can only do it through the power of the Lord. Amen. You can only do that stuff through the power of the Lord and fill yourself up with the things of God. And here it is. He emptied himself, and he emptied all of his all those things, and he became into human form. And he says that when he had become a man and he humbled himself. How was that? Because being obedient to the point of death, even unto the cross. So he humbled himself and he obeyed the Lord. There are things that God is calling you and I to do. And we are called to do whatever God has called us to do. But we are called to be obedient and follow that, whatever it may be. That's why we're here today, being and following what God has called us to do, to worship. But also this church itself is also trying to figure out, continuing to figure out how we're doing, what we're supposed to be doing for the Lord. Even though we have all the ministries and all those things, we're still figuring it out. And I think we're going to try to keep trying to figure it out all the way, because when we're trying to figure it out, we're always leaning on the Lord. And when you think you've got it all figured out, then your humility has already stepped outside the room. So he goes on, he continues. He says, for that reason, that Jesus had the great attitude, he had humility and humbleness, and he was obedient, and he died even on the cross. It says this, for this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under earth. Every knee will bow. Everywhere. I wasn't there when the Lord, and you and I weren't there when God created the sky. And he said he must have said it's going to be blue. Grass is going to be green. Trees are going to be brown with leaves on it, and there's going to be rocks, there's going to be dirt, and all of it is because God says so. If God wanted to make the sky green and he wanted to make the grass blue, it would have been green and blue. All the details of the world, God created. God created you and I, he created humanity, he created all those things. And in that depravity of sinful, when man sinned before God, man fell into the world of sin, was separated from God, but God loves people so much that the Bible says He gave His only Son, that if you believe with Him, that you won't perish, but you'll have everlasting life. The Bible says in the Revelations that there is a book called the Lamb's Book of Life, and those whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life were cast in the lake of fire. Your soul is serious business. Your life is serious business, and God is watching. God is pulling you toward Himself. God has designed you. He knows you better than Himself. He knows you better than you know yourself. But there will come a time where every man, every woman, every person, every human being will stand before God, and they will bow, and they will be on their knees before God. But not only will they fall on their knees at the name of Jesus, the Bible also says, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Not only will every knee bow before God in heaven, on earth, and under earth, but everyone will confess and they will admit, as hard-hearted as someone could be, the atheist of atheists, the non-believer above all non-believers, will bow their knees and will confess that Jesus is the Son of God. That is in God's Word. And that has not happened yet. But it will, because God's Word is true. And it is a promise. And He says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess openly, yes, Jesus is God's Son. As a non-believer, that would be a very scary thing. You think about it, it's a very scary thing to see this happen in the future. And this isn't just for people who are living at the moment. This is for all. I don't want you to think it's just for the moment of people living. No, this is for all. Those before, those who, and all that. But for the believer, this is a joyful thing. We should be excited that, and can't wait until we can get before Jesus Christ and bow our knees before our Savior. Where we can not say in fear that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God, but in excitement. I've been waiting to see my Savior and kneel before Him and do it with a joyful heart, with a peaceful heart. Knowing that you're not just bowing down because you were told about, you're bowing down because you want to bow down. You're bowing down before Jesus Christ and acknowledging because you want to acknowledge that He is your Savior. He is the Son of God. Amen? So we see what God has called us to be, that we are to be humble and have humbleness and be obedient to God. And we see Jesus on how He has did it Himself. And how Jesus has lifted Him up above all names, that every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess. But what does that mean in our part? Well, let's see what the letter continues to say. He says in verse 12, therefore, my dear friends, you know you have friends in the Lord and brothers and sisters that you haven't met yet. God's family is the biggest family. I think God loves children. God has a big family. And if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you have salvation in your life, you're part of the family of God. You're part of the family of God. When the Father says it's time to show up, show up. When the Father says it's time to serve, serve. When He says it's time to learn, learn. When it's time to pray, you do all what the Lord tells you to do. And then, listen, God doesn't show favoritism, but you can get favor from God, and God blesses those who follow. But also the Bible says that God disciplines those who He loves. Sometimes there's children that are in disobedience, and God disciplines those. Not because He does it because He loves them. I think my piece for you for that is, not don't be a wayward child. Stay close to the Lord. Therefore, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed. That's a big word in the Bible, isn't it? Obey. Just as you've always obeyed. He couldn't say that to the church of Corinthians. He had some big issues, and those letters were long because they were tough, and they were struggling over there by people being disobedient in the church of Corinth. But here, he says, just as you always obeyed. You don't see that a whole lot. But it's just if you always obey, this is the church. These are people that are doing great. They're not perfect, but they're doing good. So now, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't just take your salvation and say, I got what I need. Live it out and know the fear and trembling part of it is, it is a scary thing to stand before the awesome and living God. But I know that I have Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I can stand because Jesus allows me to stand. Not in a conceited, prideful way, but in humility. Admitting that you can't stand before God on your own. But with Jesus Christ, you can. And he says, work out your own salvation. Just because I have my salvation, I'm going to work it out, which means I'm going to live it out, and it's going to live in me, and I'm going to do what the Holy Spirit draws me and moves me to, so I can fear and trembling, know that I'm not home yet, and I'm working my way, I'm doing this and that, but even for you, there's a time when God's going to call you home. And I hope you will be able to say, assignment done. And the Lord, I pray that the Lord will say, good, well done, faithful servant. But he says this, verse 13, for it is God who is working in you both to will and to work out according to his good purposes. And to work according to his good purposes. Here it is. Because we have salvation, we're supposed to live it out. We're supposed to do this, and we're supposed to do what God's will is, and we're supposed to work in whatever God has called us to for his good purposes. God saved you for you to save you. He redeemed you from your loss and died, your lostness. He saved you, redeemed you from your sins and forgiven you. But he also put you out there now to clean you up and to move you into to serve, to work for him, to do good purposes. And he says, this is what you need to do. But he says, do everything without grumbling and arguing so that you can maybe be blameless and pure children of God, who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation among those, here he goes, that you shine like stars in the world. We live in a world that is so dark and so ugly. Right now, you can turn on the news and it is so dark and ugly. So much division in the United States. So much division in the world. This world is getting darker. And truthfully, it is getting darker. But you want to know the truth? The day that sin was conceived and done and happened in the Garden of Eden, the world went dark. And it's been dark. It's been dark. And we're living in darkness right now. And the world, that there's so many lost people looking around for hope. They're looking around for something that would give them some hope in life. There's a lot of people that have hopelessness in their life. And they're looking for this hope. And this is how we are supposed to be. He gives us an example on how we're supposed to be in this dark world. He says, you are like shining stars. You are like shining stars in this dark world. I need to shine for Jesus so bright that the lost see it. You need to be shining for the Lord in this dark place that darkness can see it. When you live for Jesus, attention will gravitate toward you. You will have attention from two different directions. One attention will be a good intention. You are a light in darkness. People looking for hope. People are trying to find their way, maneuver their way through the darkness. And you are like shining stars, flickered here, posted here. The Lord has shining stars all over the world and all over the countries. People are coming to Christ by those who are like shining stars, sharing the gospel, living a life different than the rest of the world that are living in darkness. And to be a shining star for the Lord is just doing the work that God has called you to do and be obedient to Him. You're shining in the darkness and you're drawing attention. The lost people are seeing it. You're an encouragement to your brothers and sisters. But for the dark side, the dark world where Satan is doing all his works, you also grab attention from him because he doesn't like any light in the dark world. The Bible says he is the prince of the air. He doesn't like any light in this dark world. He likes it dark. He likes it evil. He likes everything going against God, his creator. He likes doing everything that undermines the plans and the things of God. But we know who sits on the throne. But we are living on a battlefield where it is dark. Be careful that you don't get caught up too much into the politics. Be careful that you don't get too much caught up in the culture of today. It doesn't mean put the blinders on and not know what's going on. But I'll remind you, countries come and countries go. Decades come and decades flee. People are born and people die. But the Lord is here forever. And here we see that we are to shine like stars. We are shining stars in the darkness. And the darkness seems to get dark. And it gets darker and darker. If you read in your Bible, you can remember reading in the book of Exodus where the plague of darkness was there. God caused the plague of darkness upon the land of Egypt. And the scripture says there was a darkness that you could feel. It's a darkness that you could literally feel. Egypt was already in a dark place. They served over 2,000 gods and idols, but they didn't serve the true God. They didn't serve the Creator. They had a God for everything. And God caused a plague to come upon them. And they still wanted to stay in darkness. Today, there are a lot of people that still want to stay in darkness. But it doesn't matter. We're still called to be the light. Jesus even says that you're the light of the world. The people on the hill cannot see. Put a bowl under it. Can't hide it. Jesus says, you're the light of the world. Here, Scripture says, we shine like stars. But if we have sin in our life, and we're living in sin, we're living in transgressions, we're living a life with iniquities, we have iniquities in our life, a non-believing lifestyle, a sinful living lifestyle, our light diminishes, and it no longer is bright. We're not called to be just a small light, we're called to be a shining light. We shine for Jesus because Jesus shined for us. And His was enough. And Paul tells us we are to hold firm. By holding firm to the word of life that I can boast. He says that I can boast in the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. That's working out your salvation in fear and trembling. Folks, we do a lot of work here. We serve hard here. We work hard here. We've done a lot of work here, helping people, doing the things that God's called us to do with this vision. And I pray that we are not doing it, we are not laboring in vain, but we are laboring for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we can keep His name in the front of it, it is all for Him. But when we put our name or you put my name in the front of it, it is not right. It has to be the name of Jesus Christ, has to be the spearhead. This is not about me, it's all about Him. Amen? These seats were not about what we picked out because I wanted these seats. These are all picked out because this is what we have and God led these seats to us in North Carolina because we couldn't afford pews. They were over $70,000. And we couldn't afford theater seats because they were over $50,000. So we got these seats used for $10,000. Why? Because it's God led it to us. Even the smallest of things. The smallest of things we can boast in Jesus about. And we give it to Him. And the more we boast about Jesus, the more we talk about God, guess what? The light starts shining brighter out of your life. But the more you talk about, look what I did, look what I'm doing, look what our church is doing, look at this, our light diminishes. And it becomes a little spotlight on ourselves. And you'll find out that we ain't got that much power anyway. We're not that great anyway. But Jesus is worth bragging about. Jesus is worth boasting about. He is worth sharing about. He says this, Paul says, I can boast in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But he says, but even if I am poured out as a drink offering on the sacrificial service on your faith, he says this, so here it is, even if I die, he's saying, even if I die through this, even if I die as being a believer, even if I die, he says, in the same way, you should also be glad and rejoice with me. That's the deeper part of the maturity. Basically, he says, I get to go home. I get to go home. I get to go with the Lord Jesus Christ. Life is a gift. It's a gift God given. God created this human being and created this man, but he wasn't moving until God gave him breath. God gave him breath. Life is a gift. You get one go around, not two. You get one go around. I'm going to be 60 next year. Don't like it. My 20s are done. I done lived them. My 30s are done. Done lived them. My 40s are done. Done lived them. 50s are about to be done. Some of you are smiling because you're saying, you ain't got to me yet. Yeah, I got you. Some of you, 60s are done. And I'll just stop there. I honor you and love you. But some of us are more closer to death. Some of us have lived more of our life. We have less to live than what we've already lived. But if you know, and it could be very scary. There's a lot of grumpy people in the world right now. There's a lot of scared people in the world. And so they're afraid of what's going on with the economic. They're afraid of what's going on politically, the cultural, all that. But really, when it comes when you get older, they're afraid of dying. We're afraid of death. But when you shine like Jesus and you shine for Jesus and you're following him, there's got to be something inside that says, might be a little fearful, but I'm also kind of ready to go home. It's going to be okay. Because I've read so much that he said he would never leave me, forsake me. To be absent from the body is to be with Jesus Christ. It's okay. It's okay. Wasn't planning to go here, but I think it's appropriate. Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. Some of you may say mansions. If not, I wouldn't have told you. I am going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. You know the way to where I'm going. Yeah. I cling to that. Lord Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and you have seen me. There's this thing here that can be very mystical to people that don't understand it. But if you're a believer, you said, listen, this is Jesus is saying where I will go. You're going to be with me because you follow me. You're a believer. And death is not over. It's not over. We shine like stars until that light is dimmed out. That means our life is over. And we pass from this world. And Paul says, even if it's so, it's okay. It's okay. It is okay. We're not called just to be believers here during our life and get salvation and be done. We're called to live it out, but also know in our heart that we know the promises of God. That the end is not the end, but the end is just the beginning. We're living in the land of the dying right here. They're living in the land of the living. But the world has it all flipped around. We're living in the land of the dying. We're the ones that have funerals. We're the ones that's praying for people to keep on living. Up there in heaven with the Lord, they are living. And the Bible says there'll be no more death. Yeah? He said there'll be no more death. So Paul says, even if it takes my life, rejoice. It's okay. It is okay. And then you'll be at that point. We'll be called. And every knee will bow when it's all said and done. And every tongue will confess when all is said and done. And we all will admit that Jesus Christ is God's Son. You know, I'm happy today that I'm a believer. I hope today that you are happy that you're a believer. No matter how bad the world gets, this is as bad as it gets down here. As a believer, this is as bad as it gets right here. Cancer, all that stuff, war, this is as bad as it gets. But for the non-believer, this is as good as it gets. Oh my goodness. For the believer, this is as good as it gets. God has a plan. God has a plan. And God's plans always come true. Amen? They always come to be. I can't change them. You can't change them. God is God. I want to share a scripture here before I close out. Just be careful how much you cling to this world. Enjoy it. It's a gift. It's a blessing to have a long life, the Bible says. Live it, but live it for the Lord. Enjoy what it has. Enjoy your children, your family, and all that it has. It will come to an end. But enjoy it. But enjoy it in the parameters of God's Word and of God. Let's open up a window just for a minute. Let's open up a window for a minute. Let's poke our heads in. That's what he says in Revelation 20. When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea. They came across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the encampment of the saints and the beloved city. Then fire came down from heaven and consumed them. The devil was deceived. The devil deceived them and was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophets are, and they were tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and one seated on it. Earth and heaven fled from its presence, and no place was found for them. I also saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by what was written in the books. Then the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. Each was judged according to their works. Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Today, because if you have Jesus Christ, you have salvation, you don't have the second death. Amen? This is it. This is like I said, this is as bad as it gets. But for a non-believer, this is as good as it gets, and it ain't very good. Folks, it is not very good. This is why Paul says we are shining like stars in the darkness. People are looking for hope. They don't have the answers for the questions that they have. But you have them, even if you don't think. You just keep reading your word. You be faithful. God will give you the words to speak. If you can testify about the Lord and all of that. But it even gets better. He says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away. And the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity. And He will live with them. And they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief and crying and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away. God's got a plan. If you get on His plan, it's not a retirement plan. It's a living plan. It's a good plan. It's the best plan possible. Darkness and evil will try to tell you there's a better plan. Get on the fun plan. Get on the get your own life plan. Get on the it's about you plan. No, it's about the sin plan. No. Many of us have lived that. Amen? Thank goodness that's behind us. We want to get on God's plan. God has a good plan. And His plan is the best. I believe personally, I could be wrong, but it says He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I believe that we will know loved ones and friends who did not receive Christ, who chose to make this their best. And I believe we'll forget them. But He says He'll wipe away every tear. And then in the end, He says, because the previous things have passed away. In God's house will be joy and praise, peace and goodness and kindness. There's no room for brokenness and tears. That's here. I don't know where your life is today. I have to work on where my life is. And sometimes I can lie to myself and think my life is good with the Lord. But I know who knows my life better than myself. And that is the Lord. The Lord uses His Holy Spirit that dwells inside of each believer to move, to speak, to nudge, to speak to. And maybe today you just need to say, Lord, where am I at with You? Today, if I was called, I'm a believer, but today if I was called to bow before You on my knees, I would probably be embarrassed of some things in my life. I don't want to be embarrassed when I kneel before the Lord. I don't want to be ashamed. I want to be grateful. Maybe your life isn't where it needs to be, but only the Lord can tell. We'll tell you that. And there's no greater time, as we see throughout Scripture, men and women would go to the altar to pray, whether it was being childless, for forgiveness of sin, or just seeking hope. The altar is a place where we can meet God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and hear the words from the Holy Spirit to move our hearts in His direction. We can do that other places too, but there is something about the church altar, amen? The group of believers gathering themselves together under God's holy name to worship and to fellowship, to share and to pray. And we're doing that right now. Today we're going to open up this altar for you. And God's already here. And Jesus says, He stands at the door and knocks. And whoever opens, He and I will dine together. I think Jesus just wants to spend time with us. And the more we spend time with Him, the more we start shining like stars.